the work. And it's been a futile attempt to this point to really accomplish that. That could be dwelled on forever, and I think probably in your report that you're going to write or whatever comes of this meeting that you would be hard-pressed to lend any advice as to overcome that situation. That's something that's within the minds, within the soul, and not something that has a direct answer to. But I also thought of a different situation that we have experienced, and it may not be our very own, but it seems to me to be one of perhaps few cases in our particular place here in Nenana. The land claims also created a situation by where the governing authority of the natives, the self-government of their tribe here at this particular spot, was diminished to a degree that it only exists now in principle. Prior to land claims, there was already an established village here, as anyone knows, because we're part of the land claims. They came here and they said, yeah, this is a native village. There's a native community here, and so they're in land claims. But the land claim spells out so that there's certain lands that have to be taken and chosen for the expansion of the village, future expansion. Those selections here at this particular place went to the municipal government of Nenana. They're the ones who sit in that position to make those selections.
That's the 1,200 acres.
The 1,200 acres. So a situation arises there where the natives, a portion of what the natives had sold, their aboriginal rights and uses of the land, part of what they gave up falls to the benefit of those other than their own tribe. That's the way the situation is here at Nenana. I don't know if it exists at any other place, but it has led to many complications, as you might imagine. If, like other villages, many other villages, the native council and the governing body of the village are one and the same, lends much benefit to the overall ability of the corporate heads to continue and to progress, whereas here we're dealing with two separate entities, one of which is...
Go on.
Yeah, because the title is... Well, it's pride of ownership, you know, and it's an incentive to build on it and improve on it, you know, and thereby improving yourself, you see. But we find we still don't have the title, you know. The corporation's colonialism, they're taking the place of the federal government. The BIA, you know, they're calling us right where they want to. And it seemed like there's not a damn thing we could do about it. And it just boils down the way I look at it now. The little man way down at the bottom totem pole is going to get chips from the land claims, you know. That's all he'll get.
He's going to get what?
Pardon the expression, he'll get shit.
Oh, I see.
But when the $180 came in, there was somebody in Nenana here, came into the bar and says, well, I sold my land for $180. This was, I don't know when, years ago. But that's about what will happen. Because this, the way I look at it, it's to the state and the federal government's benefit that the corporations go like they are now, so they'll get the land back. So it's to the states and the federal government's interest that the corporations fail. So they just gave him the money there, and he just picked up the guys on the streets and put them up there and directing these millions of dollars being spent, and most of them board directors out there couldn't make a pimple on the board director's ass, you know. But that's what we have there. And it seemed like we have no control there. It should have been the federal government should have set something up. You have to qualify for that position on the board before you can run for it. It's like politics. You get the votes, you get in there.
And it would have to get to so much money before you could start drawing the interest off of that. You know, the accumulated yearly interest. In other words, write every shareholder a check for every 6 months, maybe there wouldn't be the dissatisfaction in the ANSCA law, because, good Lord, there's all kinds of problems with that law. The land, from day one, since the 1700s, when the white man came from Europe and settled in the U.S., who did they contact? The Indian people. Like my father used to say, when I would go to school every fall and there would be a new teacher, and he'd instruct me when I was in the first six grades or so, he'd say, if that teacher wants to know who you are, you just tell him that one set of grandparents met the other set of grandparents at the Plymouth Rock. The federal government has constantly worked their laws from that time with the idea of assimilating the Indian people into the white culture. They sent the churches to do that. There we go back to the method of control again. All their public laws that pertain to Indian people have been based on the idea of assimilation.
And when the missionaries came, before the missionaries came, the Athabascan people used to burn their dead. So the missionaries came, and they made us start burying our dead over here on the hill. So then the railroad came along, went through the graveyard, and there wasn't too much objection. Some of the people moved away, and now they're coming back again, and they're taking the land away from us for a second time. And this is one of the things that I'm objecting to. The other thing is that I don't think that the city of Nenana should be called a city and a village too. I know it's stated in the Claims Act as it's listed as a village. Well, we don't have a village. And I think that's one thing that should be changed in there, because we aren't a village. We have a lot of Native people in Nenana, but we don't have a village here. So they say, well, that's yours up there. You know, that's the village up there. Well, there's about maybe three or four Native people that own private lots up here, but it isn't a community place where our Native people can come except for this hall. And a lot of people don't know that we do not own one block of land in the city of Nenana.
You mean the Native people don't own land in this town?
No, the corporation does not own one acre of land in the city.
But the majority of shareholders in the corporation, in the village corporation, mm-hmm. live here in this city.
We have 46% of the shareholders live in Nenana, yes. But most of them live on their own private land.
That they hold from the city, or?
No, that they bought themselves.
You said, Ms. Atwood, the people in this village, forgive mm-hmm. me for calling mm-hmm. it a village for the moment, but you said the native people at Nenana live by subsistence, are a subsistence people, and you said there were two studies you had done that proved that. What are those studies? Are they available?
One of them was just finished, and the other one is in the process of being reviewed now, but they were both done through the University of Alaska. One is through the Fish and Game, Division of Fish and Game, and the other, I think, is through the Wildlife.
Oh, and they were done by the University of Alaska?
Yes, uh-huh. I shouldn't say we had it done. They did it, uh-huh.
And that was the Fish and Game Department of the University of Alaska?
Yes. One of the studies that they did was for the gas and oil lease that they had done out in the area. And what they did was they were going to have this oil and gas sale out there, so they went ahead and made up a map of all the animals that were out there and how many they were. And they, I don't know where they got some of their information from or most of it, because they even claimed they counted the moose out there. But we've showed the map around to some other native people that live in Nenana, and the map is wrong. So, well, I think what they did was they maybe held one meeting, which we didn't know about, and they have, everything is on a time limit, seems like. Every time we do something, you have to do it in a certain amount of time, and it's usually never enough time.
At any rate, those two studies, do you know when they were done, the years?
One was done in 82, was it, Gilbert? 81. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the other one, it was just done this last winter.
Did they send them out to you after they were done?
No, we had to go get them.
Well, I'd like, if you've got a copy, maybe you can let me see it just so we can right away and get our own copy.
Well, I don't.
Thank you.
I can't think of anything else right now, but if I do, I'll be back.
Yes, thank you very much.
Like Charlie Titus just said, Anska is just a big word. I think one of my concerns about the Anska law is also that there's one section that spells out the responsibility of the regional corporation to the village corporation. And since I've become involved, I don't see the regional helping the native village corporations at all. A point in fact is when Shell Oil decided that they would like to go out here in the so-called agricultural project, the act says the regional corporations are responsible to the Village Corporation for approval. The Board of Directors did not approve Doyon's acts, but they received, as I understand it, $750,000 for the rights to go out there on Nenana, Togutili Corporation's land. Well, if they had asked us for approval, we might have had a chance to say, hey, what about half? Who controls the regional corporation? Who stands above them and says, you have to abide by this law? The law is written for the regional, certain things for them to do, which they don't. And I don't think there's anybody that's looking over the shoulders of the regionals nor the village corporations to see that they're complying to the law. It seems to be haphazard, is what I'm saying. And there really isn't any control. No control, so you have dissatisfaction amongst your stockholders.
And I think. Thank you, Mr. Stewart.